Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast coming to you from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Tonight's question, what is the connection between diet, health, and the economy? And the second part of that question is heart disease, high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, cancer, fibroid tumors, and obesity, the result of hereditary factors, or eating a fast food diet that is high in fat and sugar. These and other topics will be discussed during tonight's program. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial.
Can you stop playing the drums? Was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of...
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brother Kim Beasy, and I will be your host for this evening's broadcast. Every Thursday, we have a sobering discussion about the imperative for black people to take control of the economics of our community. We have an exact methodology on building the economic machinery via a global cooperative family-centered economic model and how to pass this on to future generations. To join the show this evening, call 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will let us know that you have a question or would like to make a comment. Also, visit our website, usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. Or give our call our office at 404-592-2780. Tonight, I am excited to have Sister Nanana, who is a certified nutritionist, iridologist, and a colonic therapist. Regular listeners to this program know that Sister Nanana is also a member of the ULU Board of Directors. So, good evening, Sister Nanana, and welcome. How are you feeling tonight?
I am feeling quite well, Brother Kennedy. I'm feeling quite well, and thank you so much for providing this opportunity for me to take part in the Dare to Win. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. Come just a little closer to your phone, please. Before we dive into this evening's discussion, please tell our listeners, what is iridology and what does a colonic therapist do? So our listeners will have some sense of your skills.
All right. Thank you very much. And is this volume better?
Much better. Loud and clear.
I hope so. Thank you. Yes, iridology is a process or methodology whereby you can magnify the iris of the eye, and by looking at certain points on the iris of the eye. Well, there's a point on the iris of the eye for every organ and every system in the body. So it's a methodology that allows one to get information about what's going on inside of the body without being invasive. And iridology has been around since the beginning of time. It's a very, very old technique, and it is an aid. As I mentioned earlier, certainly there are other ways to gather information, but it helps us to understand that old saying, the eye is the window to the soul. Because you really are looking directly inside of the body. I believe you also asked about colon hydrotherapy. Once again,
yes, I did.
Colon hydrotherapy is an ancient process first done by the ancient Kemetic culture, a process of flushing and cleansing the large intestinal tract. It's important that we keep the intestinal tract clean. That is the very root and the seat of our immune system, which many of us don't know that that is the core of our immune system. So a colon hydrotherapist is an individual who is trained in a process of helping to clean waste, mucus and other debris from the intestinal tract to help us improve our health and our immune system.
Very good. So a clean colon is the foundation to good health, in other words, I think I hear you saying.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Unfortunately, in Western culture, we have very little, virtually no emphasis placed on cleansing at all, period. Western medicine looks upon the whole concept of periodic cleansing of the body as something that is unnecessary. However, we know from ancient times back that cleansing has been something that has always been recommended for us to do. Our body is a vessel. We use it. And anytime you use a vessel or a container, periodic cleansing of that vessel is warranted for sure. So summer, winter, spring, fall, we should be setting aside minimum of 3 to 5 days to do fasting and cleansing. That's what's going to help keep us healthy.
Okay. It reminds me of the program we had last week where I think Sister Barbara Frank was saying how important it is to rid the body of these parasites. So we want to continue building on that conversation around health and diet, and the question that we opened up with, what is the connection between diet, health, and the economy? Sometimes we don't put those three things together, but help us begin to think about diet, health, and the economy and what it is that you would have us to understand about that, Sister Nanana?
Well, thank you for that question, and it is definitely a question that we need to ponder and be very aware of the impact of, because of the fact that we are exposed to capitalism. We live in a culture that is highly steeped in capitalism. We have to understand that capitalism is totally profit-driven. So the so-called healthcare system or healthcare arena is nothing more than an avenue for generating revenue. In other words, the so-called healthcare, and I say so-called healthcare here in our Western culture, is not truly focused on assisting people to stay healthy or to regain their health, because if in fact that is accomplished to any extent or to any large degree, then profits would go down. And capitalism is profit driven. So the way to maintain profit is to keep people sick and to constantly keep them in a mold or a process whereby they never get well, and they are exposed continually over and over again to drugs and surgery. Those are the two major avenues of Western culture.
Mm. So let me to go further on that that idea. Let me ask you this: Is heart disease, high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, cancer, fibroid tumors, and obesity, are these the result of hereditary factors or eating a fast food diet that is high in fat and sugar?
Well, I've got a couple of answers for you on that one. and that's a great question. Thank you for asking that question, because all of those ailments, we are certainly high on the scale of having all of those particular ailments. To my knowledge, and I would challenge anyone to present information to show that there is a gene that promotes or that carries any of these: diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, fibroid tumors, obesity, so on and so forth. We are being brainwashed. The Western culture, Western medicine would have us to believe that somehow we as people of African descent, that our bodies and our physical strength does not match that of people of other ethnic groups, so we fall prey to all of these ailments. When in reality, what is going on is, first of all, we're eating a lot of things that we really should not be eating. And I think we're going to talk more about that as time goes on. And that contributes to all of these ailments. The only thing that we can say that has been passed on is certain behaviors and certain tendencies as far as lifestyle and food choices. Many of us are still eating basically slave food. Is what we're still eating. And so in doing that, the body cannot reach its full potential and its full development because it is not being nourished. Additionally, because of the fact that we are melanated people and most of us don't understand what melanin is or how to treat melanin, we don't realize that, yes, we get sicker quicker and stay sicker longer than people of other ethnic groups
because of the fact that we have not treated our melanin properly. Melanin is, it's an energy force. And so whatever it is exposed to, it is going to duplicate and multiply. So if you expose melanin to a French fry, hamburger, hot dog, greasy spoon diet, then it's going to multiply that. If you expose melanin to a primarily plant-based diet, clean water, exercise, getting enough sleep, then the cell structure is going to magnify and multiply and duplicate that. So the reality is that we don't know how to put our melanin to its best use. I hope I've given a good explanation around that.
Yes, you have. So you're saying then that these illnesses aren't really produced by hereditary factors. They have more to do with the foods that we're eating and the different lifestyle choices that we're making. And you're also saying that we have picked up these habits more as a result of the culture that we're in than anything else. In other words, we're eating the way our parents ate.
Exactly. What we have inherited is that we have inherited a way of life. We have inherited certain behaviors. We have inherited certain things that we think are normal. We think it's normal to eat pizza 2 or 3 times a week. We think it's normal to have several meals a week that we eat out rather than eating at home with the family. And so all of these things contribute in addition to just the very high level of stress that we as a race of people endure on a daily basis. So you want to talk about something that contributes to ill health, you know, talk about just being who we are, people of Black African descent in a very, very unwelcoming and unfriendly culture, which really does not promote our well-being and, if anything, has promoted genocide against us. So we are stressed out most of the time. So combining the high level of stress with the poor dietary choices and other things that are going on in our lives, yes, various ailments such as hypertension, fibroid tumors, prostate cancer, other things, yes, we have higher rates of those, and I judge that it's because of all of those other elements, and no, it is definitely not something that is hereditary. Hereditary means that there must be an identifiable gene that carries that illness. And there is no gene that anyone has identified that carries that within our ethnic group.
You know, it's interesting. You may be familiar with, and some of our listeners may also be familiar with, a book called The China Study, put out by a researcher, T. Colin Campbell, in 2006. He conducted this massive study on the Chinese population where 800 million people were surveyed, and they discovered that the people who lived in the countryside and ate primarily a plant-based diet showed absolutely no instances of cancer, where the people who lived around the large cities, where fast food franchises were flourishing, those were the populations that were showing cancer and some of the other illnesses that are prevalent in the United States. And what the other thing that Colin Campbell did in his research was he showed that when you eat high levels of animal protein, it tends to produce cancer and cancer cells in the body. By mm-hmm. manipulating the amount of animal protein that were fed to these laboratory mice, that when the protein reached levels of 20% or more, that the cells in the mice begin to produce cancer cells. When the animal protein in their diet was reduced to under 10%, there was no cancerous cell production in those animals. It was also interesting that those same mice, when fed a diet of plant protein in excess of 20%, showed no cancer cell growth. So he was beginning to show that there was a correlation between high levels of animal protein and cancer cell formation. And he also pointed out that the human body really only needs between 2.5 and 5% protein for its daily caloric consumption. So there's growing evidence that to your point about the food industry being driven by profit, we see why the fast food industry is so bent on pushing a certain diet in our communities, and the result of that diet is causing the cancer and the diabetes and the hypertension. We know that the animal diet comes with cholesterol, high levels of cholesterol, which then clog the arteries, which then drives up the blood pressure. We also know that fat content clogs up the cells and interferes with insulin, allowing sugar to get into the cells, and it contributes to diabetes. And so we see that because this is a money-making system, there's very little concern for the health outcomes of the people who eat this way, and there's a huge focus on how can we make more and more money. You were saying something about the fast food industry itself is a product of capitalism. Go ahead. No, you were getting ready to say something.
I was just going to say your comment around animal protein. There are two things I would like to point out. And that is, we have been misinformed and miseducated. First of all, animal flesh is not the only source of protein. We need to understand that. And also, when you think about it, just about every animal that we consume is a vegetarian. And so the very beginning of all protein is in plant-based. You know, if you don't have chlorophyll, you don't have protein. So that's one thing for us to think about. The other thing is that in terms of capitalism, the miseducation has been done purposely. We can exist quite well on very small amounts of animal protein, which you just pointed out with the statistics that you shared. So we have to ask ourselves the question, where did this guidance come from that tells us to eat animal protein three times a day? When you think about it, that is absolutely crazy. That's lunatic. For us to consume animal protein three times a day. But that's what we've been told to do. And for those of us who follow that, more than likely we are going to develop some type of a health issue. But here again, because of the fact that our diet and the information that we receive around diet really has very little to do with health. In this capitalistic culture, it has to do with making money. And so those who are in the high positions in these various companies and organizations, they want more profit. And so they publish this information saying that you should have animal protein 3 times a day so that you'll buy it so that they'll make money, when really you could eat animal protein probably twice a week and you would be fine.
Yep.
You'd be just fine.
I'm also reminded I was in a seminar on fibroid tumors, and the people that were leading the conversation pointed out that probably 1 in 4 European and American white women are subject to fibroid tumors, but 2 out of 4 African American and black women suffer from fibroid tumors. And I was astounded by that. The other point that they mentioned is that the tumors have a lot to do with hormonal balance in women, and specifically estrogen. And when you think about the fact that most of the food, most of the animal foods that are sold in the United States, whether it's beef or turkey or chicken, or cow's milk, all of those animals are injected with recombinant bovine growth hormone as a way of adding, beefing them up, making them heavier. In the case of dairy cows, it forces the cows to produce more milk, and you see these blown out of proportion udders on the cows, again, to generate more profit. The problem is that when populations who have high melanin in their bodies consume those products, it throws them into a hormonal imbalance. And so there was a statistic that 37% of African-American men over the age of 20 are obese. And 56% of African-American women over the age of 20 are obese. Directly tied to this amount of bovine growth hormone that's in the food that then winds up in our bodies, causing us to blow up. And so we see how sinister the system is in terms of causing us to have health outcomes that are crippling our community from a health standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, definitely.
We have a caller on the line, Sister Nanana. Let me take this caller's comment or question. Caller, last 4 numbers 5259. You have a question or a comment. Your line is open. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Jelani D. Ukweli. I'm calling from Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Brother Kambizi.
Greetings, Brother Jelani. Good to hear your voice. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm great. I hope y'all are doing
good,
the same.
Good. You have a question or a comment for us?
Yes, I do. You know, even though we're African-centered, you know, we are missing a lot of conversation about health, especially like in the public. So, and I see a lot of people who are African-centered really struggling, you know, to fight for our people, but their health is really, really bad. And we get suckered in by the health industry, the so-called health industry, because they have all these different programs, say, hey, come in and get your blood looked at, your blood pressure checked, and see if, you know, you got prostate, you know, problems and stuff like that. But it's really, you know, kind of railroading you to get looked at, you know, through the allopathic medical system. And I'm just so happy to hear Sister Nanana is so directly in the nutritional and holistic type, you know, medical, you know, that really is the real medical system to me. And so I just wanted to say that y'all keep up the conversation, and otherwise the medical system is going to make us broke.
Well, thank you, Brother Jelani. I appreciate your comment. Sister Nanana, before we you respond to Brother Jelani's comment, let's take a quick break. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll respond to Brother Jelani and also look at whether or not food has been weaponized. So let's take a quick break. And on the other side of the break, we will delve even deeper into the conversation. And we're back. If you're just joining us and would like to join the conversation, this is Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night radio broadcast, coming to you each Thursday night at 9 o'clock. The number to call in is 929-477-2789. Again, 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will raise your hand in the studio, and we'll see you, and we'll take your comment or your question. Again, we invite you to our website, usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. Go to the website and look around. Check out the information that's there. There's a wealth of information on economics, on diet, on health, on politics, and you will be better informed as to why the cooperative model is a better way for our community to go. As we said earlier, we are joined tonight by Sister Nanana, who is a certified nutritionist, an iridologist, and a colon therapist. And we've been exploring the question, what is the connection between diet, health, and the economy, and are these chronic diseases that plague our people, are they hereditary, or are they the result of improper foods? And so, Sister Nanana, you had indicated that our food has been weaponized. What do you mean by this? And help us to understand this really important concept so we can be more strategic in terms of how we take care of our health.
Well, yeah, thank you, Brother Kambizi. And, yes, you have touched on a bit of this already when you gave the information concerning the hormones that are used particularly in the dairy industry to force the cows to produce more milk. And those hormones are an example of the of food being weaponized, because when those hormones get into our body, and they get into our body by us eating dairy products, milk, cheese, ice cream, sour cream, anything that is made from cow's milk, then that is going to weaken us and is going to create illness. And so food is weaponized in my chemicals, pesticides, anything of that nature are added to the food, then we as humans eat that food, and these various additives create illness. When we are ill, when we are physically ill, then we are not well emotionally, we are not well psychologically, and it's very difficult for us to move forward in an assertive manner to do the things that we need to do in order to take care of ourselves and to build a proper way of life for future generations. So, yes, food is being used as a weapon to keep us suppressed. And because the more that we eat in an improper manner, the less we are going to be able to have the intellectual, the emotional, the physical strength that we need in order to be on this battlefield that we're on here in Western culture. One of the best examples that I can think of is something that's occurring with black men and has been for several years, and that is the increase in the rates of prostate cancer, impotency, and the increase in homosexuality. And that can be tied to, I judge, the introduction of these artificial hormones. So everyone, every human being needs to eat. And those who are in position to control the food supply, knowing full well that you have to eat, can, in fact, create food, which is what they're doing with the genetic modification of food. They can create food whereby when you eat it, it will cause you to act a certain way. It will cause you to think a certain way. It will cause you to be fatigued instead of energized. It will cause you to have what's known as brain fog, whereby you cannot process information. All of these, in my opinion, are ways and means whereby food is being used as a weapon, particularly the genetic modification of food. Let's think about genetic modification. When food, particularly, let's talk about fruit. That's the most recent way that we're seeing genetic modification, particularly in the citrus fruit within the last couple of years. The Creator made fruit so that it comes with seed, so that the seed can be planted and it can be reproduced. Well, those who are in charge of, or who have taken charge of certain aspects of growing citrus fruit, have now genetically modified oranges, limes, lemons, grapefruit, anything that's considered citrus. It's almost impossible now to find citrus fruit that has seed. So if there is no seed, the next question becomes, okay, so what's happening differently as far as the cellular structure of this food? Because when you eat food, the cellular structure of the food communicates to your cellular structure. So there's something being communicated to our cellular structure which is not beneficial to us, and our immune systems are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. So the weaker we are, the less ability we have to think and to process information, and in some ways, we just become like robots. So this whole idea around weaponizing food, That's one piece of it. The other piece of it is that in certain instances, I'll just give an example. Let's say like in Puerto Rico, where over 70% of the food that the people eat in Puerto Rico is imported. They have farmland, but because of various rules and laws that have been put in place, cannot grow food on their farmland. So they have to import food. So food becomes a weapon in any situation whereby someone can call the yays and the nays in terms of whether or not you're going to get your shipment of food this week. And when we think that we're not going to be able to eat, we know that food is tied to life, we are more likely to be subservient and to not think in a manner whereby we question authority or what appears to be authority. So I'll stop with that right now, but those are two of the major ways that I judge that food is being used as a weapon against us to weaken us and to keep us under control, or at least in positions whereby we pose a minimal threat, because the food that we're eating is having such a highly, highly negative impact on us.
Well, you know, your comments raise the very obvious next question, is how do we break that cycle? How do we put ourselves in a position where we are able to produce our own food and control the quality of that food?
Well, my response to that is that we have to be willing to do things differently. We have to be willing to, first of all, break away from capitalism and to embrace the cooperative economic model. That is major. We're not going to survive if we continue to be capitalistic. And so to educate ourselves and to understand the difference between capitalism and cooperative methodology, and also to understand that your economic system reflects your values and your beliefs. And capitalism does not value human life. It only values money. Capitalism gives no acknowledgement or recognition to a spiritual power, a higher power. Capitalism gives no acknowledgement or recognition to the needs of future generations. And we know that we have a high need to be able to pass on wealth generationally. The only thing that capitalism is focused on is more profit. It is insatiable. Capitalism, in my opinion, in and of itself, is a disease. It is an illness. It has nothing beneficial for us. So we need to start educating ourselves. Ulu has lots of opportunities for us to learn about cooperative economics, particularly the model of family economics that Ulu has developed, and we need to start practicing cooperative economics and supporting various initiatives to bring that about, because that is our strength. Capitalism weakens us because it continually puts us in a position whereby we are competing literally with each other. And what are we competing for? We're competing so that we can have more availability of food and other substances that can only have a negative impact on us. So I hope I didn't talk in circles.
No, you didn't,
to that question. Okay.
And really, what you're saying is that the revolution begins when we change what's on the end of our fork.
Exactly.
The good news is that is the one thing that, at least for the moment, we have a lot of control over. You don't have to go to a picket line. You don't have to get on the phone and call your congressperson up and threaten them to do what you want them to do. All you have to do is to put something different on the end of your fork. In other words, occupy your fork, so to speak. And in terms of having an impact, you talk about the system would take immediate note of the fact that we were shifting. Most people who shop with either Kroger or Publix or one of the main chain grocery stores usually participate in some kind of loyalty program, whether they want to or not. Most of the coupons and the discounts are tied to you swiping your loyalty card, and then, you know, they take dollars off of your bill, and everybody likes that. But what we don't realize or pay a lot of attention to is that every time we do our weekly grocery shopping, swipe that loyalty card, that particular chain has captured a ton of information about our buying habits. And they are monitoring, and you know, those receipts are very detailed. They tell how much beverages we bought, how much soda, how much chips, how much produce. Everything that we purchase shows up on that receipt. And so these corporations are gathering megabits of shopping data on the entire population. So if the African-American population were to shift and begin to migrate towards plant-based and away from animal-based, the alarm bells would go off in all of these corporate headquarters instantaneously. But to your point, Sister Nanana, that is why the Ulu Marts and, as you said, the cooperative economic model that Us Lifting Us is putting forward is the critical step. In other words, moving from privately controlled corporations to a corporation that is owned and operated by our people, and where every person, every member of the co-op has one vote, so that it's a very democratic company. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and continue that discussion on Us Lifting Us as the solution to our economic problems, and at the same time, the methodology to improve our health. So that's very exciting when we think that right within our means are the tools we need to change our reality very dramatically. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. Again, welcome to Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast, coming to you from Blog Talk Radio every Thursday evening from 9 to 10 to get into the studio and to raise a question or make a comment. Please dial 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will raise your hand in the studio, and we'll know that you have a comment or would like to ask a question. So, Sister Nanana, in the time that we have remaining, share with us, our listeners, some of the vision you have for Ulumart as a way of allowing our people to take control over our agriculture and some of the features that you envision in that space that speak to a place for colon therapy to happen and our ecology, if I'm saying that correctly. So share your vision about that.
Yes, you are, and thank you for that opportunity. What I envision is that every Ulumart would have space dedicated specifically for holistic healthcare practitioners to have office space and to be able to receive the public to come in and to partake of their services right there in the Ulumart. And of course, a part of the plan for the Ulumart is that there would be a farmer's market. That's going to be the central focal point of every Ulumart, locally grown produce, as well as a large amount of organic produce, so that our people will know that the Ulumart is the place to come to get real food and to get real health care. I envision that in the space that's set aside in the Ulumart for events and other gatherings, that there would periodically be workshops on specifically on healthcare issues related to us, and that we would have speakers coming in that would talk about better our health and improve our health. So I see all of that happening in the Ulumart, and I know that Ulu has started taking a look at agriculture as a cooperative business venture. Any way that we can get back to the land, that we can start from the ground up to produce our own food and to be totally responsible for feeding ourselves, to me, this is nothing but beneficial, and it would be a tremendous gift to be able to pass that on to future generations. So I foresee in the future that Ulu would be heavily involved in agriculture. And in bringing about various business ventures whereby we could specifically feed ourselves, whether we are in the rural areas or whether we are in the inner city. Urban gardening is becoming very popular, and there's no reason why we shouldn't partake of that as well. So I see all of that as a vision for Ulu going forward.
Mm. And a very exciting vision it is. We just want to make sure that everyone listening knows that, first of all, we invite you to the website, usliftingus.com, and you will see the 10-point appeal and plan, and it lays out in 10 specific points the overall idea of what we are building through Us Lifting Us and why it is so important. There's also a tab where you can click to become a member of Us Lifting Us. And we invite you, after you have looked at the website, looked at our program and heard the presentation, once you've done all that, we think you'll agree that this is a method, this is a vehicle that will empower us both economically and politically. It's only $50 a year to become a member of Us Lifting Us, and you can make that that payment right there at the website. We encourage our members that as soon as they are able, everybody has to look at their own budget. But the way that we fund these businesses is when each one of us that has become a member of the co-op purchases a co-op unit for $1,000. Now, and take a deep breath. That may sound like a lot of money, and it is a serious sum to be sure. However, it can be paid over time, and whatever payment plan makes sense for your budget, feel free to use that particular plan. The idea is, though, that we have $1.3 trillion flowing through the black community annually. Annually, $1.3 trillion. We're trying just to capture a small amount of that and then use those resources to open cooperative-owned and operated businesses in our communities. Our liberation is going to have to be funded by us. We have the resources in our wallets right now. The question is, will we have the political will and the understanding to recognize that no one is coming to save us? We're the ones that we've been waiting for, and now is most definitely the time to jump in and begin to pool our resources and build these economic institutions that our people need. So that's $50 to get in. It's an annual, and each year after your first year, your $50 goes towards the purchase of your next co-op unit. So it's a win-win. We make it easy to do. And again, if you have a question, you want to get more information, all you have to do is call the office at 404-592-2780. We'll take your call, answer your question, and walk with you all the way until you're an active member. So that's going to be pretty much do it for this evening. Sister Nanana, thank you so much for being with us tonight, for sharing the information and opening our eyes to understand that we can take control and responsibility for our own health. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to have a medicine cabinet full of pills. We can run and frolic and leap and be the essence of health. It's all up to us.
For sure.
So again, family, we thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Thursday, same time, same station, and we hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, be safe, be strong, and keep the peace.
Thank you, Brother Kimbizi.
So many.